talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marian way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club. And we'll guess and goof and talk on exchange. Read, debate, and think it's exchange. Tune in, we're on. Turn on, I'm in. It's on today, the Exchange Club.
And away we go. It's a Getaway Friday, Friday, January 30th, 2026. Last Friday in the month of January, February right around the corner. 17 minutes past the hour, joined in studio by Matt Morgan. And Groundhog Day is right around the corner, Monday. Tell them all about it.
Yes, Groundhog Day starts at 8:15. We were going to have the Groundhog is going to the Salvation Army truck's going to be here, so you can get hot chocolate and coffee or the hot water if you wanted. The Groundhog will be here at 8:45. Bob Welsh is going to come down from Columbus and have a Groundhog pizza. And under the slices of the pizza, there's going to be slips of paper that say either 6 more weeks of winter or an early spring. And then Mary Ellen is going to be there to sign the prediction into fact. And we are also going to have, after 19 years, Jack Kellogg in his Groundhog Day sweater making spam sandwiches.
So you think that's not big, but it is. It is.
So, I don't know, I feel like I'm forgetting something still.
James Anderson?
Yes, James Anderson is going to be there. So we're going to have 3 groundhogs there. So that's always good.
And we'll see who the groundhog is. The guesses have been Jason Schauber, the mayor, Pastor Whitaker, Miranda McGinnis, Larry Barnett, Ted Williams, and Bob Bender. If anybody else has a guess as to who the groundhog might be, give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, apparently, back to our gubernatorial race. It's getting hot. What are we, 10 months away now? Apparently, Amy Acton has broken a campaign fundraising record, $5.3 million. The Acton campaign has raised more than double at this point in the campaign cycle than Rich Cordray's 2018 race. Now, how about that? Now, more than 96% of contributions were $100 or less. The average grassroots donation was $28. 70% of donations came from Ohio residents. Think about it. Now, see, those are the voters. See, that's not dark money.
Why only 70%? Well, who else is sending money to Amy Acton?
Well, people know Amy Acton. That's why I told you. Both of people know these candidates from outside of Ohio. But now, that's something. If your average donation is $28 and you've raised $5.3 million, which is more than double what Cordray raised in 2018, and Cordray came within striking distance of Mike DeWine.
Yeah. Oh, never mind. That was the Nan Whaley was the second one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, say what you want about Amy Acton. She's got some kind of momentum for some reason.
Yes. I don't know. She's kind of boring. I've heard her say nothing.
Huh?
I said I've heard her say nothing.
Well, she's been on twice, you know.
Yes, I heard both of those. But it's more like, I don't know. Everything I know about her is everything I heard in the interviews.
Yeah, but is this the I was reading this morning, Trump is down to a 37% popularity rate in this country. I don't think anybody's been that low since George W. Bush.
I didn't know George W. Bush was that low.
Toward the end, with the mortgage crisis and the Iraq war, and he was becoming very unpopular.
I didn't know George W. Bush was ever popular for some time.
After 9/11, he was.
Because, I don't know. Like I said, I mean...
We won two elections.
Yeah, but, you know, I always hear George W. Bush be referred to as a warmonger, and I know there were all kinds of conflicts under you know, Bush.
After his re-election, he became very unpopular. Second re-election. First re-election.
Warmonger, I guess.
Yeah, but 37% is your popularity rate, and you're only 1 year into your second term? That's pretty low.
What are the odds?
But that could be what the reaction is for getting...
What are the odds
Wyoming Acton is getting that reaction.
Impeached. Huh? So what are the odds he gets, like, impeached?
Oh, I don't know. Impeached, possible, if the Democrats take over the House, but convicted, unlikely. Yeah.
They won't remove him?
No.
Man, they ought to start removing presidents.
No, he'd have to do something pretty bad.
Okay, yeah, okay. I don't know why, I don't know what exactly that would be at this point, but
well, I don't know. I mean,
Watergate, you know, got Nixon.
Well, that's because his party turned on him.
Well, all I'm saying is if Donald Trump had a Watergate, it would look like pebbles.
Well, this is the interesting thing that I keep wondering, and this comes back to the Amy Acton thing. Okay, the people who still support Donald Trump, who are running for office, now, are they doing that because they really support him, or are they doing that because they think it'll help him with voters?
With who?
That was a pretty straightforward question.
No, but which candidate?
I said candidates who are running today for office who support Donald Trump.
Oh, yes. No, I don't think they actually support Donald Trump.
Okay, so that's the difference. I think with Nixon, it was a moral issue. And I think they believe that he had done something wrong. If these people are only supporting Trump because they think it helps him, then they're gonna. It's for them. It's not for the country.
Well, yes.
And politicians used to be built differently. If they were popular in their own district, I told you it wasn't from the top down. No president was going to knock them out of the box. But we've created a society where president's more popular than mayor. So now, if you like the president, you tend to vote for the mayor that's of his party. So it's a bizarre thing, and it used to be from the top, from the bottom up.
I guess it's just the scale. I mean, you know, the president's the president. But for some reason, people think the president's like a king or something sometimes.
Well, but this is just a recent development. I mean, honestly, the last 12 years, probably.
No, but like, I don't know. It just seems like people think that the president can fix everything.
No, it's because everything's about party. I mean, I don't remember Nixon say, the Democrats. You know, it wasn't like that. I mean, there'd be some criticism that way, but it was more person to person because you needed to work with the other side to get things done. Now, it's not so much like that.
Well, it should, you know, that's... Compromise used to be the name of the game.
But I guess we'll find out as time goes along. 740-383-9944. What do you think? We're talking about Groundhog. We're talking about the presidency. Amy Acton. Campaign record-breaking things going on. I think it's fascinating that she's been able to do what she's been able to do.
I agree. I don't know. I don't know what. I mean, it could just be Trump's, you know, absurd unpopularity, but I'm surprised that she's done as much as she has.
I still am shocked. I have not heard anybody in the Democratic Party criticizing her, but I have heard Republicans critiquing Vivek, and I think that is the most fascinating thing. about this whole thing. There seems to be a civil war in the Ohio Democratic Party, or Republican Party, but for the first time in eons, the Democratic Party, it looks like, got their stuff together.
Well, I mean, I'm sure there's somebody in the Democratic Party who's unhappy with how Amy acted, or maybe somebody.
But they're not being public about it.
Yes, not being public.
The Republicans are being very public about it.
I don't know. That's not a very good strategy. I mean, I like honesty, I guess, so I'd rather, you know, people were critiquing of their candidate's campaign. But at the same time, I mean, if you're looking to win a race, I mean, that's not really the way to do. You're beating your own candidate.
Well, maybe that's what they want.
Why?
Well, again, because just because you have a thing next to your name doesn't mean that's the person you like the best.
They're the ones who put them up.
No, no, no. There's been no primary.
That's my point.
That's what I'm saying. There are Republicans who the Ohio Republican Party supported him and gave him money. But Republicans around the state and every Republican, they have not.
Oh, you're talking like the voters?
Yeah. Well, I'm talking the people. Everybody who's held office or been in office or blah, 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 they're not involved in the Ohio Republican Party. Like, Renacci has been critical of Ramaswamy. Blystone's been critical of Ramaswamy.
What do these people got against Ramaswamy? I mean, I'm not a fan of Ramaswamy's, but I'm curious. What do they got against Ramaswamy?
There's just something about him that doesn't sit well with the Republican Party.
He seems like he belongs with the Trump Republicans.
Yeah, but the Trump Republicans have not really controlled the state. DeWine, I would not say, is a Trump Republican. I certainly wouldn't have said John Kasich is a Trump Republican.
Yeah, but DeWine just was happened to be in there when Trump won. Well,
Kasich was.
No, I mean the second time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, but it's not really, but it wasn't really the Trump Party at the time. The second election, it became a lot more the Trump Party.
And I think DeWine had people running against him.
He did, yes.
But he won.
He did. And then the Democrats put up Nan Whaley.
Right. Which I think they learned their lesson about that.
Well, I mean, that's good. I guess it's always good to learn some lessons.
I don't know. I just think there's something weird going on with the Republican Party in Ohio that I have not seen for a long time. I don't remember. Even when DeWine was getting primaried, it didn't seem to me like the party had turned on him. It seemed like certain politicians had, like Renacci and Blystone, but I don't remember the party turning on him. Like, Trump did not endorse Blystone or Renacci.
The Trump Republican, I don't know. I mean, Bernie Moreno won the Senate seat, and the only thing he pretty much campaigned on was being the Trump candidate.
But remember, in a Trump year, when Trump was on the ballot, that's a big part of it. You know, how much did Trump win Ohio by, and how much did Moreno win Ohio by? Big difference.
Does Vivek not have Trump's endorsement?
I don't think the endorsement is the same as being on the ticket with him.
I mean, probably not. I mean, Trump's diehard supporters aren't going to show up to, I mean, all of them, I guess, aren't going to show up to vote for when he's not on to vote.
I mean, Trump endorsed DeWine by the time that race was going toward the end, Cordray and DeWine, but DeWine did not win by a huge margin.
Why did Donald Trump endorse DeWine?
Because he was a Republican.
But they don't like each other.
I don't know how they felt about each other then.
Fair enough, I guess. I don't know. I mean, maybe the DeWine Republican Party still exists. But I don't know. I mean, the Ohio Republican Party took no time at all to endorse Vivek, who happens to be a very...
Well, I think leadership
like Trump
is very Trump like at that time. I think they would probably rethink that at this point. I think that was one of the big problems with it, is that they did it so early and so quick.
Well, I mean, usually you wait for...
Like, do you think Andrew's Pastries would do Trump cookies now?
No, they probably,
I doubt it.
They probably wouldn't sell.
And that's only a year later. A lot of things have happened in this year. And I think that's why you're seeing what you're seeing. And you don't hear Vivek mentioning Trump anymore. When he first got in this race, that's all you heard. Couldn't turn on the television without that ad where Trump endorsed Vivek.
Well, I mean, it was the same thing when Bernie Moreno was running. I mean, you couldn't... I mean, like, the ad was... I can still remember the ad. Entire, like, it was literally just Donald Trump with his fist in the air at a rally saying, "We love Ohio and we love Bernie Moreno."
Right, but what I'm saying is, it's weird that you haven't seen that ad now in almost a year for Vivek, and he has not won his race.
Well, I mean, it's...
I think he's waiting to see how popular Donald Trump is.
Well, he was also running ads very early.
Because I think he thought that that favored him. But I think...
Well, it did at the time. I mean...
Well, that's right, but I think...
At the time, he had to get Yoast out, and he...
Right, but that could have been a major mistake.
Maybe.
Mistakes can happen early.
I don't know. I mean, it's possible. I mean, yeah, I don't know... I don't think that the ads hurt him at all.
I don't think they've helped him.
Well, I mean, I think they got Yoast out of the race. That's pretty helpful.
No, I think the party endorsing him got Yoast out of the race because he knew he wasn't going to have any fundraising connections. And I think now they... Well, maybe we should have let Tressel in there and seen what would have happened.
I think Tressel would have... I don't know. I wouldn't vote Tressel. Why would I elect Tressel?
Why would you elect any of these people?
Good question at this point, you know. But, no, I mean, I guess Tressel was at least lieutenant governor for, you know, DeWine's last term, but he's a football coach.
I don't know. Does anybody got any opinions on this? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And back to the Marion Star article here, the headline online. Doctor finds no indication of rape in Ayers-Ratliff trial. Well, that's a stark headline.
For the prosecution, yes.
Yeah. Not a good headline.
No.
So, where do you go with that?
Well, I mean, nowhere at this particular point, I guess. The trial's still going on, but I think it's... I mean, it's interesting nonetheless.
I mean, the verdict will be interesting, but again, is anybody going to be willing to say I was wrong? Probably not.
I think that there will be people who will say I was wrong, but not the majority of them. I think that people will tend to stick to what they've said.
I don't know how that all goes. I really don't. I think the verdict will be important. But again, I've been surprised at how little press, really, the trial has been getting.
Well, I mean, you know, it was talked about so heavily when it first happened that I don't think anything really new has come up except that it came back and that it's actually started now. This is the first thing that's come out of it.
It's very interesting. But I don't know. I don't know. I think it's sad, again, on everybody's behalf. And I don't think anybody's walking out of there with a good reputation.
No, it seems unlikely. Unlikely.
And that's very unfortunate that nobody will walk out with a good reputation. I don't think it had to be that way.
I think if done right, both people could have a, you know, could have a reputation. Or I guess more than that, I think there's, you know, three, potentially four names.
I don't know. That's the way it is. 740-383-9944. Any thoughts on the Ayers-Ratliff trial as it goes along here. You know, there were so many people, though. You go back almost 2 years now. When that case, when that allegation was first made, so many people were just absolutely sure that he was guilty. Absolutely sure. And would have argued it to the end of time. And it's interesting to see that that's not really the case anymore.
Well, I mean, when the indictment first came down, I mean, you know, there was a video that, you know, was basically saying it's going to be a slam dunk, open shut kind of case.
Well, that wasn't the case.
It was not the case.
You know, even that alone now seems like a bad idea.
That was, yes.
No matter what the verdict is, it just seems bad.
Yeah.
You have to wonder, what evidence was he seeing?
Isn't that, couldn't that also be, like, seen as, I don't know, like, tainting the jury pool or something?
Well, who knew at that time? But I guess my point is that next day, what evidence did he have, Grogan, that would have given him the idea that this was going to be open and shut?
Well, I mean, he had the victim's, like, you know, account or whatever you want to call it, the victim's statement, and I guess there was some kind of something they sent to BCI.
Right, but the results couldn't have been back.
Well, no, the results were not back.
And with a sitting councilman, I mean, you have to make a statement. I understand that. But why would you make the statement that he did?
I don't know. I don't think it was a great... I mean, it wasn't a good decision. I mean, especially... I mean, hindsight's 20/20, I guess. But, like, especially bad decision.
Well, certainly didn't pay off almost 2 years later.
It has not.
And... I just think the reflection of time is not going to be good with this particular case. This is not going to age well.
Well, I mean, the longer it goes on, I mean, you know, the longer it stays around to some extent.
Well, there you go. Again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944.
I mean, I know that obviously kind of seems, but like, you know, more people think about it, I guess.
39 minutes past the hour. Tonight we'll be back, 8:15 until 10 p.m. That should be an interesting show. It's going to be cold tonight, but it should be an interesting show live here. Who knows what will happen? Who knows who'll be here? You never know.
It'll be in, yeah, it'll be in.
Then at 10 o'clock, what do you got going on?
Tonight I want to talk about the same thing I talked about the last couple of weeks, football and politics. This week, well, we're going to talk about the Super Bowl matchup, what's happened with the coaching carousel, and then politics. There's no, you know, not much to happen until the Super Bowl. So.
And what's the big word in politics this week?
Well, I wanted to talk about the man who was killed. I wanted to talk about I wanted to talk about the arrest of Don Lemon.
they got the real criminals off the street now.
You know, things are that sort. Also,
Don Lemon.
Yep. I was also going to go over the you know, like how Bovino, whatever his name, I can't even think of his name. He you know, was moved, and then Trump's borders are was put, you know, the whole shuffle.
And don't forget, January is divorce month.
I like that. That's good.
I think that's a very interesting subject to explore.
I wonder what the divorce rate is in January as compared to the rest of the year.
Well, I bet the rate's not big because it takes a while to get a divorce.
Does the divorce rate count when divorces are finalized or started?
Finalized, I think.
Oh.
Which, again, we talked earlier, which I think this is fascinating. You seem to think not. You're going against the grain on this one. That if you are still married, legally, if you start a relationship with somebody, mm-hmm. is that an affair?
I mean, if you're... I mean, in, like, the eyes of the law, yeah. I mean, like I said...
Well, the law, I don't know that an affair is illegal.
Well, in the eyes of, like... the government.
I'm talking about humanity. Just, are you a moralistic person if you do that? Because that's what we think when somebody has an affair. We think it's moralist.
I mean, I don't think it's a great look. But, I mean, like, is it still, like, the situation of, like, having a, like, in the middle of a divorce, like, in the middle of a divorce process? Because, like, I mean, like, I know people who are just, like, married but separated. And they've had, you know.
I'm saying you decide you're going to get a divorce.
Okay.
And you just haven't signed the paperwork yet. So you're still married. Should you be having a relationship during that period?
I think you got bigger things to worry about than a relationship.
But, okay, but people don't see that as an affair. They would not see that as an affair because they would say they're separated.
I mean, personally, I don't really care. I mean, I probably isn't the best look. I mean, like I said earlier, I mean, it's probably not the best look for when you go to court.
You know why I see it as a problem? Here's why I see it as a problem. If you can't even wait for the paperwork to be signed before you're hopping in the next relationship, this might be the problem that the first relationship did not work out. You cannot be without a relationship. There's something wrong with you.
No, I agree, yeah.
So that's why I think it's wrong.
Okay, well, on those grounds, then yes, I would agree.
I mean, whatever. Timing's everything. But if you can't even hold off, if you can't say no long enough to get your divorce papers signed, then I'm thinking this is why you have a problem in life. Maybe this is why the divorce is happening. And maybe this is why you continually get divorced.
I mean,
you must be easily persuaded.
I mean, I've said it before. I mean, you know, I think that if you've been married multiple times, you know, I mean, you got to eventually look at all the marriages and say, what was the common denominator?
But do you think anybody really does that? Do you think they really do? Do you think they really? No, they don't sit down and go, oh, it must be me.
I mean, you can't tell me you're going to sit down and point out what's wrong with each of those like five people that you've been married to. And be like, oh, this one, this one, this one. Okay.
You've never looked at somebody who's been married several times and they're like in their third or fourth marriage, and you go, wow. You know, you don't say it because you don't want to be rude, but you don't think, man, what in the world are you thinking?
I don't know anybody who's been through multiple marriages at this point, but I know people who
I can introduce you to some people.
I know people who go through boyfriend, girlfriend, like there is no tomorrow.
And you never get to a point where you think, what are you thinking?
I mean, it gets to a point when they introduce me to one, I'm like, oh boy, you'll be gone in about 3 months.
But, see, I think with marriages, they stick it out. I think they're willing to tolerate more things because the more marriages you get involved with, you don't want another one against you. Because then it's, well, how many times have you been married? 3. How many times have you been? 4. 5. You know, that starts to look bad. So they will start to put up with stuff that heretofore they would probably not have put up with.
I mean, probably.
I
think that's kind of how it should be. I mean, you have, I mean, if you, you know, till death do us part, as the contract says.
Oh, not for everybody. Not for everybody.
So I think you might want to tough that one out.
You know, there's always, what is your type? Maybe you need a different type.
Well, yeah, I'm sure that could be it for some. I mean, I'm certain that could be it for some people.
I'll tell you, you know what the number one mistake, if somebody comments on your looks bad, because that's what they're seeing, their personality to them is really not all that important. And you looks will fade. I mean, just the idea that you, oh, that person looks good. Okay. But eventually, you see them every day. It gets old. You got to have something else to fall back on.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, like, conversation's always good. I mean, if you can't talk to them, you gotta spend an awful lot of time with somebody.
No, but you know when my beautiful wife, my handsome husband, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, if this is your number one trait with that person, think go deeper.
I don't know. I think it's weird when people... I don't know. I don't know. I don't like when people write up posts about their significant others in general or their family.
Believe them.
Yeah, I mean... Every time it happens in my head, I'm like, man, they must be having some problems right now.
Oh, you know they are, but they don't tell you.
Well, because, like, I mean, if everything was hunky-dory, why are you getting on Facebook and posting, oh, you know, I love this person so much, you know, like, I don't know.
Like they're in the room. Tell them.
I mean, you don't gotta tell everybody else.
No. It's like the birthdays and the Father's Days. I mean, and then the other person almost feel obligated to write the same thing. It's very weird.
I mean, I don't know. People, like followers, I guess. People do what they think is expected of them.
Right. Well, if somebody writes something nice about you, you feel you should probably reciprocate when that day comes around. But do I believe any of it? No.
Yeah. That's usually how it goes, yeah.
That must be a second misery, because clearly there's some problems there.
I don't know. Making posts about your significant other just seems to be a bit of a... I don't know. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
And doing things. I see people doing things all the time that I know they do not enjoy doing. But they're doing them and pretending they're liking them because the other person likes it.
I know somebody who's going to a concert with their significant other, and I was informed by that person that they do not like the band that...
See, there you go.
that they are going to see with their significant other, but their significant other likes it. So they're like, well, I'll go. I was like, no. I mean, you just tell them you don't want to go. Like, why do you got to go to the concert if you don't want to go to the concert?
All I know is there's always some kind of conflict. There's always some kind of conflict in those relationships, which is how you get Divorce January. You know, it's not like a national month. It's Divorce January because a lot of people file for divorce in January because they want a new life. It's a new year. New life, new year.
I think we should make it a law to where you can only get divorced in January. I think that'd be a good law.
I don't
cram
know.
Cram them all into January.
Well, but
start
people
off
get
the year right.
People get unhappy in the summer, you know.
Start off the year right.
Yeah. And it's an interesting subject. It always is.
Or you could end the year right, I guess, and cram them all on December 31st.
Well, people like gifts, though.
Specifically December 31st.
Then Valentine's Day. Holy mackerel. Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day is a scam.
Sweetest Day.
And they said Valentine's, yeah, and then they said Valentine's Day did so well, we need to add Sweetest Day in there.
All of it's kind of phony.
Well, yes. Yeah.
Don't you think people in general, though, are phony? I mean, really, when you swipe it all away, people are just doing things for the, I guess, reason of doing them.
Oh, you're the one who told the joke about Valentine's Day being similar to Halloween?
No, the comedian did that. That we went and saw in Columbus.
Yes, Jeff Jenna.
Jeff Jenna. What was the joke?
Basically, it was something along the lines of, I don't remember, or sorry, I know why men don't like Valentine's Day. Or Halloween. It's because they're basically the same day. They have to get dressed up, give away candy, and pretend to be somebody they're not.
There you go. That's a good joke.
I think so. Yeah, I like it.
But there's a tinge of reality to it. That's why people like that joke.
Oh, well, yeah.
Tinges of reality.
If you need a holiday to tell you to get your significant other some things, then obviously you're just not getting them things.
You know, and why is it the heart? Because it's the brain, really. It's not the heart. The heart's just a muscle.
I don't know why the heart's the symbol, honestly.
Maybe people don't want to give somebody a brain?
I mean, it'd be weird to make a brain-shaped box,
I guess. You know who wanted a brain? The Scarecrow.
Yes.
And the Wizard of Oz.
Yes, brainless kind of fellow.
If I only had a brain.
When they just gave him a college degree and said, look at that.
The Wizard, yeah. What a metaphor that movie is, really, though. You know, that movie is really all metaphor. People think it's just a story. It's a metaphor.
Yeah.
I mean, the Scarecrow wants a brain,
mm-hmm.
the Tin Man wants a heart,
mm-hmm.
and the Lion wants courage.
Yeah, I see.
And Dorothy wants to go home. She's been at the party too long. She wants to go home.
Yeah, you know, that's fair.
Then you had the Wicked Witch.
You know, that was my, I don't know if River Valley still does it, or I don't know, maybe it's a school thing every school does, but, I don't know, fifth grade, I think, we did like a play, or musical, I guess is more, rather it, and we did that, maybe it was middle school. Anyways, either way, we did, the Wizard of Oz.
Were you in it?
I mean, everybody was in it.
What'd you play?
I honestly think I was just in the chorus. I don't think I had a part. But I did do a musical that I actually had to sign up for an audition.
Oh, what was that?
Annie.
Oh, Annie's a good one.
Annie was good. Never did another musical, though.
Did you play a part?
I was FDR.
Oh, FDR. He didn't have a big part in that musical.
Well, I mean, I was FDR and the chorus. Or part of the course. But yes, I mean, at the end of the movie, I had to come in and tell Annie her parents were dead.
That's a little rough.
yeah, that was my part of the movie.
You know, but
right
that's
there.
One of the... See, because as Pat Carroll says, the villain. The star, the best part in Annie is Miss Hannigan, the lady running the orphanage. She's a cranky, nasty lady.
Yes. Yes.
That's the part you would want. All the other... characters in that story are just kind of, they're not really dimensional. Even Annie is not dimensional.
Well, they don't have any, like, character arcs or whatever they call them.
Well, they don't have any, there's not any, like, sides to them. There's not any edges.
Well, they're...
Miss Hannigan's got edges.
I think that's the point.
Right, but that's what I think for somebody who's doing a part, she's... Not only is she evil, but she gets the laughs. Because she is so evil and says such ridiculous things. You know, clearly Daddy Warbucks there, he's the star, he's the savior. But there's no laughs in that, there's no character development in that.
I don't know, I think character development's always good. You gotta have some good character.
And like the Wizard of Oz, it's the Wicked Witch of the West. I mean, who else do you want to play in that?
I don't know. I want to be a tree.
A tree?
Yeah, the trees are throwing apples at people.
Now, the wizard would not be a bad part because he turns out to be a little shaky himself. He's got a little bit of evil to him.
Oh, yeah, he's just a con. Yes, that's right. He's a con.
So he's an okay part, but the Wicked Witch is the, you know, she's the star of that.
Tried to steal her shoes.
Yes, and she's sending, you know, flying monkeys and all kinds of stuff.
You know, that's what, you know, if I was an evil person, that's what I need in my life. Some flying monkeys.
And she was green.
Didn't the monkeys have green faces?
And water did her in.
Why?
I don't know, but it did her in.
Because water's like pure or something?
Had to drop a house on her sister. But water did her in.
Weak.
Very, very interesting.
Hydrophobic, I suppose.
Didn't like baths, I guess. I bet she smelled funny.
I'm sure she did, yes.
I bet she had an interesting odor to go around the Wicked Witch of the West.
Well, I'm sure that the whole castle had a weird smell. I mean, she had flying monkeys around, you know?
But isn't it true, all stories, the villain is the one you want?
Yeah, I mean, it's the interesting portion.
You know, I think that's why the comedies, like the Naked Gun, for example, when it came around, then the hero, who is actually inept but funny, that's not a bad part.
Never seen it.
Funny movie. They did three of them. They just remade it, I think.
They do a lot of remakes. Those remakes.
Those were funny movies because the hero is really totally inept. Totally inept.
So it's like a comedy movie.
Oh, it's definitely a comedy. Out and out complete comedy.
So is it supposed to be like a comedic version of Top Gun?
Oh, this came before Top Gun.
Oh.
No. But then Leslie Nielsen, who played the cop in that, he went on to do all of the... That's what he became, was a serious actor. That was such a brilliant formula, as they took a great serious actor, and they made him kind of what he was, serious, but totally inept. Totally inept star. You know, just couldn't... Dumb as a stump. But it worked.
Well, people, I mean, I don't know. What's the Gomer Pyle? Is that the right person?
Gomer Pyle.
Nope, I don't think I'm thinking of, I think I'm thinking of the wrong movie. What's the show? What's the wrong who's the deputy in the Andy Griffith show?
Barney Fife?
I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
People liked him.
Well, that's what Andy Griffith said. I mean, that was his show. The Andy Griffith show. He said, I remember when Don Knotts died, who was Barney Fife, he said he had the best job in the show because he was the straight man. He said he got to be in the show and watch it too. Because he could watch the comedy.
It's good. I think people should watch more of the old shows. Old shows are good.
Well, you know, but then Andy Griffith became Matlock. And that is actually, for a drama, it's not really a drama, but it is. Plays a lawyer, but it's such an interesting show because this lawyer has weird quirks. Like, he's cheap. And he wears the same suits all the time. And he is temperamental. And, you know, just, but he also is, you know, he gets people off the hook.
Does he get actually guilty people off the hook? Is it like a Better Call Saul?
No. I mean, you never really know if they're guilty or in it, but he solves the case.
Oh, I see. Sounds like Bull. You ever watched, I think the show's called Bull?
I don't know. But Matlock was very popular. And nobody thought that would ever work because Andy Griffith had been so known for his Andy Griffith show. But then here came Matlock, and there you go.
I don't think I ever watched Matlock.
I think it's because he had white hair. Well, they've even remade it now as a woman. I think for Kathy Bates plays Matlock now.
I don't know who that is either.
Actress.
Well, I know who Andy Griffith is, so I don't know why I said either. But
Good stuff. Dick Van Dyke. Went on to do Diagnosis Murder.
I know who that is.
Yep, he went on to do Diagnosis Murder. That was one of those crime-solving shows. There was a period where, if you were a big comedy actor in the 60s or 70s, just get yourself a drama in the 80s. Kind of a weird drama, but you could be the lead of a drama. Carol O'Connor did it.
Is that like the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air kind of thing?
Well, no, I don't think that's a drama.
Well, what are dramas?
Like Matlock. It's a lawyer show. There's no comedy in it. There's no...
Why are they taking comedians then?
Because they figured out that they're actors. And they could play the roles. And people knew who they were. And they could have comedic moments in a dramatic show.
I see. I thought they were just making... Like,
Star power will drive a show.
I thought they were just giving comedians like shows to do funny stuff. I don't know.
No. Well, we'll be back tonight, 8 to 10. And then 10 to 11, you'll be on.
Man, time flew by.
And the Groundhog is coming up on Monday. We'll talk more about that tonight. And who knows who the guests will be. Tune in tonight for this day. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Fair reporter.
Streaming live on the internet at WWGH1071.com. CRT Mechanicals.